As we've talked about, we all come from different backgrounds, and I grew up in the Methodist Church, United Methodist Church. My dad was a pastor, and then my parents got a divorce. That kind of ended his ministry as a pastor in the 60s. But part of what I think are still important are opportunities that we share in traditions that I think are still important to the body of Christ in celebration. So Advent is one of those things. A lot of Assemblies of God churches, that's not really a Pentecostal church thing. But it's the beginning of the church year for many traditional denominations within the tradition of Christendom. And it begins the fourth Sunday before Christmas Day. So today is the fourth Sunday before Christmas. And it ends on Christmas Eve. The word Advent means coming or arrival. And the focus of the entire season of Advent is the celebration of the birth of Christ and then the anticipation of the return of Christ the King. So we celebrate Jesus coming, and then we look forward to his return and return to us and taking us into his kingdom. So it's not just a tradition, it's a celebration of the truth of God. And this morning we've asked that Sarah and John would come, and they're going to share with us and light the first candle.
Okay, our scriptures from Isaiah and Matthew. Okay, Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
Matthew 4:12-17. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way by the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." We light this candle to thank God for his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who has sat in darkness, have seen a great light, the light of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our salvation.
Amen. So, I think everybody in here has been in darkness at some point, and we saw that great light, Jesus Christ, and he brought salvation to our hearts, and that changed to us, and for that I'm thankful, and thank you very much for sharing with us today. I told them that really the hardest part is lighting the candle. I shared our youngest daughter's here today from Kansas City, and she was in the National Honor Society, and the students had to had to light a candle, and they had one of those same kind of things. And here are all these 4.0 students, and none of them can light a candle. But we were victorious, and we accomplished. So throughout the next few weeks, we'll be sharing together. And then on the 21st, since we're not going to have a Christmas Eve service, we're going to have Christmas Eve on Sunday, the 21st, in the morning. It'll be our traditional Christmas Eve service, stuff for the kids. Kids will be participating and sharing and song, and they'll also be sharing the Christmas story. And so I invite you to be a part of that. And at that time, we'll do the final celebration of Christ coming as a babe. So at this time, Tom is coming. Everybody like this pulpit? This is brand new. This is brand new. And I said to Tom, hey, I would like to have something that looks like the, you know, we've got the pallets on the wall and the pallet thing is going up here. And I said, I would like to have something like that that's better than a music stand that I can spread out stuff on and have a place to put stuff. And so he did it. So let's say big thank you to Tom for that.
Thank you. Good morning, Evergreen. We have some things to bring up today. I'm gonna get my glasses on here first, though. As far as ECI, there is still need of whatever you have for the needy in the Stevens Point area or wherever, whatever path ECI has led. I understand they're going down to Milwaukee here, coming up very soon, to pass out clothing to the needy. Don't forget Wednesday night, prayer and Bible study at Al and Barb Wagner's. Very good. Thank you, Barb and Al, for your time, and I enjoy it. Buddy barrels. There are these little barrels out here that we feel as though the kids can get into the spirit of giving. And handing it in on missions. We're going to have a mission Sunday. So if the children can, participate in that, get used to giving to others. I'm sure they have. I'm not saying you don't do that. But it'll be another avenue to show their appreciation and their concern for those in need. As Pastor said, on the 21st, we are going to have candles and carols and communion at 10:15, and at 5 o'clock at night, we're going to go Christmas caroling. So that's going to be fun. Please be a part of that if you can. I would like to, if you have your Bible with you, I would like you to turn to John chapter 14. I will make this short, Rick. I'll save you some time here. Okay. I'm referring to verses 5 through 7. When Pastor brought up a message here a couple of weeks ago about who is he, who is God, I have to ask myself, who is Jesus, you know? And in verses 5 through 7, if you want to read them with me out loud, that'll be excellent. Chapter 14, verse 5 through 7. Everybody there? Okay. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. So it's been weighing on my heart lately, have we put Jesus And we put him up there as being our, having a personal relationship with him. Have we put him up there at the highest, at the top of our lives? So, Father, I just thank you that your word is so true and that it is so revealing, Father. And it is our way of life, God. Thank you for that and for your Son, Jesus, for sacrificing, for that we all can obtain eternal life just by knowing Jesus, just by knowing the way he is, what he has been. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If the ushers would come forward, we will do the tithes and offerings.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to give back to you and pray that you would take these gifts and that you would use them for your kingdom and that lives would be changed. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, while they're passing that out, we're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. Everybody had a good Thanksgiving this past week. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Thanksgiving. It's more than food, more than football, and more than a turkey trot. And I noticed the first thing that was on the newspaper the other day that it says season starts off with a turkey trot in our own newspaper, and I thought, so it is what we think of sometimes when we think of Thanksgiving. And I've got some facts that we're gonna take a look at, some Thanksgiving facts. Anybody could tell us what year the first feast was? Al was the only one there.
786.
Oh no, it was before that. 1621. I figured somebody would be Googling it on their phone to tell us. The first feast was 1621, and it was the Pilgrims and the tribe of the Wampanoag, and it lasted for 3 days, so they got to eat for a pretty good deal, just like when we have Thanksgiving, then we have leftovers for a little while, and the same thing was for them. In 1789, George Washington made a proclamation in which there was a nationwide day of prayer, and it's pretty neat to read that. If you again go online and Google it, it's profound. It was a day of thanksgiving to God, celebrated by all religions, so not just Christians, but all those who were living in the states at that time. In 1863, then Lincoln had it officially recognized as a holiday. A lady named Sarah Hales, who was the editor of Godey's Lady Book, of which I have never read, but she was the one who pushed for official recognition, and her pushing and it came into being. So 1941, Congress officially recognized it as a holiday and then moved it to the fourth Thursday of the month. It was the last Thursday of the month, but sometimes that was the fifth Thursday of the month, and so that didn't work. So the fourth Thursday of the month, Canada celebrates. Anybody Canadian? No Canadians here. Last year I was in Afghanistan, and we had Canadians there with us, and they celebrated Thanksgiving on the second Monday of October, so they celebrated as well. In the U.S., turkey is a $2.67 billion industry. So turkeys, that's where the money's at, $2.6 billion. How much turkey do you think the average American eats a year? 22 pounds. That's a pretty good guess. 18 pounds. 18.3 pounds of turkey per year. And in the U.S., white meat is preferred 2-to-1. Anybody like dark meat? Yeah. Oh, let's see. We're breaking the odds here a little bit. When we lived in Thailand, there were no turkeys where we lived in the northern regions. But in Bangkok, you could buy a turkey, and it only cost $150 U.S. So, pretty good deal. We ate chicken. How many people do you think watch at least one football game on Thanksgiving? 700 million. Now you're going crazy. 31 million people will watch at least one football game on Thanksgiving. Usually there are around 71 million people who are watching football, and it varies as to which ones they're watching. Do you know what state in the U.S. produces the most turkeys? North Carolina. North Carolina is the winner. Kansas and North Carolina. Yeah, they're not the same. Okay, what state produces the most cranberries in the United States? Hey, you guys got it. Did you know that cranberries are harvested in two ways? I didn't know this. I only knew that they were wet. They can be harvested wet and dry. Do you know that? The wet cranberries are turned into cranberry juice and cranberry sauce. So I didn't know that there was a dry way of doing it, but those are the regular ones that you get in the bag. How fast do you think a turkey can run? Dane, what did you say? 28 miles an hour. 25 is what I saw, but 28. Pretty fast. Pretty fast those little turkeys are. They can fly 55 miles an hour, but just for short periods. They're not really an endurance thing. But, yeah, it depends who's shooting. That's true. What do you call... The last thing that we're going to talk about as far as facts go, what do you call an unhappy cranberry? Blueberry. I didn't make it up. I just read it. Okay. On Thanksgiving, many of you had food. Most of us had food. And we had football. And I didn't go running anywhere, but maybe some of you did a jog around the block, but Thanksgiving's more than all those things that we talked about. It's more than just one day in a year. And we're going to take a look at what the Bible says about giving thanks. So, first of all, it tells us that we're supposed to do it. It says, give thanks. Give thanks. And the first, in your on the backside of your bulletin, there are some notes that you could fill in. The first verse that we want to look at is Psalm 100, verse 4. And it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That's pretty plain that we're to give thanks. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Glorify him with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So when we're praying and we're talking to God, we're also giving thanks to him for answering our prayer. Sometimes I think it's good to even give him thanks while you're giving him the request. I thank you, God, that you're going to meet this need and that you're going to take care of this situation. So don't be anxious about things, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Psalm 7:17, I will what? Give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing praises of the name of the Lord Most High. So he tells us that we're supposed to do it. I mean, scripture's pretty plain. Give thanks to him. So who is supposed to give thanks? You tell me that. Everybody. So we're going to find out who, but that was a good answer. Psalm 95 verse 2 says, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And we did that this morning. We extolled, we glorified, we worshiped him in music and song. So it says, let us. Philippians chapter 1 verse 3, Paul says, I thank God, my God, every time I remember you. So individually we can thank God. It can be just us saying to God ourselves. So we can do it corporately. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Or I thank my God every time I remember you. Colossians 1:3 says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So kind of encompasses individually and as a group. And Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. So here it's living creatures and 24 elders. So in heaven, it's taking place where they're giving thanks to God. The heavenly beings are doing it. We're doing it here. And so I think it's important to give thanks to God and to see who he calls for and shows us is to give thanks to him. And so who are we supposed to give thanks to? God, yeah. We're to give thanks to God. 1 Chronicles 29:13 says, now our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. So our God. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 says, the trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. So the Lord, God, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, he is good, his love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. We talked about that verse last week. And then First Chronicles 16, verse 34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 7:17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So we talked about the names of God 2 weeks ago, and here he's showing us, I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. I think what Elion, I think is what we had talked about last week, the Lord Most High. Psalm 136 verses 2, 3, and then 26, it says, give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And then verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. So gives us a picture of who we're to give thanks to. And I think it's important that we take time to do that and to give thanks to our God. And so the next question that I have is, why? Why do we give thanks? And for what reasons do we give thanks? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says that we're to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So he wants us to give thanks to the Lord. It's his will. And I think it's important that we do what is God's will. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to give thanks in all circumstances. So that means the good times, that means the difficult times, and that we're still to give thanks to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So we can give thanks to God because he is good. And then it talks about the fact that his love endures forever. What does that mean? It never ends. Yeah, it just keeps on going. So his love is not going to stop just because we fail him, or we fall, or we do something stupid. It's forever. So that's good news. Psalm 107 verse 8 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Okay, we talked about enduring, that goes forever and ever. Unfailing means his love for us never fails. It's always there. It's always true. Even when we are faithless, he is faithful towards us. And his love towards us is unfailing. And then the second part of that verse, and his wonderful deeds for mankind. So we give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, and then for his wonderful deeds for mankind. And we're going to have an opportunity here at the end of the service where we're going to hear about the wonderful deeds that God has done for mankind, because you're going to share with us his wonderful deeds for mankind. I think that's important to give thanks to God for his wonderful deeds, for the things that he does for us. Psalm 118 verse 21 says, I will give you thanks, for you answered me. For you answered me. So we can give thanks to God because he hears our prayer and he answers them. I think, neat that scripture tells us about the fact that God is not deaf, but that he can hear us, and that his arm is not short, that he can reach out and he can meet our need. So I will give you thanks, for you answered me. And then he says, you have become my salvation. Anybody thankful for salvation? Yeah, I'm thankful for salvation. And we sang a song earlier that goes along with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we sang about the victory that he brings us. So we can give God thanks for the victory. So we can give thanks because it's his will, he desires it, and we're to do it in all circumstances. We're to give thanks because he's good. His love for us endures forever. His love is unfailing. We give thanks to him for his wonderful deeds and the fact that he hears and answers our prayer, and that he's brought us salvation, and that he gives us the victory. So, next question is when? You know, all those questions, who, what, when, where, why. We're getting all of those in. When? 1 Thessalonians, we already said it, chapter 5, verse 18, says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes when we're going through, we talked about last week, difficult times that come our way, sometimes it's hard to give thanks during those times. It's easy to do it when we're coasting along and things are going great. It's hard to give thanks sometimes when we're facing those challenges. But he's instructed us to give thanks for everything. I read something that says, if we give God thanks regardless of our feelings, he gives us joy regardless of our circumstances. So if we give thanks, God thanks regardless of our feelings, he gives us joy regardless of our circumstances. I read another thing that says that it's our spiritual act of obedience. Those who obey are invariably blessed, even though difficulties may remain. So we can be blessed. We can give thanks, even though we're going through a hard time. And then thankfulness opens our hearts to His presence and our minds to His thoughts. And I think it does. It opens us to Him. It opens our hearts to Him. We're telling Him. It shows our thankfulness. We're giving God encouragement, and not that He needs our encouragement or our pat on the back, but He does desire our worship and our thanks. So where are we supposed to give Him thanks? Where? You tell me where. Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. Psalm 35, verse 18 says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs, I will praise you. So the great assembly, that was the temple and symbolic of the church. And then among the throngs. So I even think that among the throngs, I can give thanks to God among groups of people. We're going to do that again here shortly. But I think that we can, even in our job situations, that we can give thanks to God for something that He has done in our lives. And Sarah, you were sharing something about that vice principal or the principal who said, you may not agree with whatever this decision was, but my wife says we should look to Scripture, look to Psalm 91. And I think about the same thing. It was a testimony from him to teachers, and I think that we can do the same thing, that we can give thanks to God and declare what God has done for us at different times. So I think that's important. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21 says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness, and they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. So even in the army, God was saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give thanks to me. I want you to glorify me and honor me. Worship team, I want you to notice that you used to be the ones that went out first, and you know, so you could have been the ones that got the arrow first. But if you were giving praise to God, then you were okay. And then where else? Nehemiah 12:31 says, "I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed to the top of the wall to the right toward the dung gate." So just anywhere. I mean, they're up on a wall giving thanks to God because the wall has been restored. They're giving thanks to Him. So we could do it in a church. We could do it pretty much wherever we are. We can give thanks to God and just declare who He is. And so that's what I want us to do this morning. A tradition in our house is at our table at Thanksgiving, we have candy corn. So this year we had just four. Usually we have five. So you have to come up with five different things that you're thankful for. And then you get to eat. You know, you say what you're thankful for, and then you get to eat the candy corn. Some people don't like candy corn. I don't understand that. It's one of those things that you can have from the previous year and still eat it. It's not any different. It feels the same in your mouth. It's nice and chewy, hard. So we're going to pretend that you have a piece of candy corn today, and I want us just to do, I call them popcorn thanks. You're just going to pop up. You're going to say, I thank God for or because, and then you can sit right back down. It doesn't have to be elaborate. If you want to go elaborate, that's okay, but just little short ones are fine. So I'm not going to point or say who has to do it, but okay. Good pop.
So last week I wasn't here. We went and saw my dad's family in Minnesota, and I haven't seen them since my grandpa died about 20 years ago. And we were all not quite sure how it was going to go, but we had a really wonderful afternoon. I'm really thankful for my family in Minnesota.
And the Packers.
And the Packers won.
Yeah. Pastor Al's still crying about that.
Shout at my children or grandchildren ever. That was my shout. That was my full force. I was sitting there and it just hit me. I remember that 35 years ago, my doctor told me I would probably be in a wheelchair, probably in several months. And I thought, I'm not. I'm not going to be in a wheelchair in several months. And God has faithfully kept me all these years, 35 years, without being in a wheelchair. I'm so grateful.
Amen.
Well, I'm thankful for God's word. It just grounds me. I get kind of carried away in life and the world. And every time I go back to God's word, it brings me back to where I need to be and focus on what I need to focus on. And I'm very grateful.
Amen. Oh, by the way, Ray said game's not till 3:25 today, so we could go just all afternoon. So, and by the way, I went to Green Bay over the weekend. I stood in front of Lambeau Field. I have a picture to prove it. Lambeau Field. Whatever. We went to Lambeau Field. Lambeau Field, sorry. Lambeau Leap. We didn't leap in the stands, but we did go there. So has everybody been to Green Bay before? You guys are so rabid about the, you know, Packers and stuff. I just want to make sure you've actually been there. Here I have. I just got here and I've been there, and so I can't say the name right, but all right, sorry. Kathy.
board members on ETI, and it's just been a fun adventure for 4 years, and it keeps growing and getting blessed, and I'm the one that ends up getting blessed.
That's right.
And the Chargers won last week.
Yes, we learned about Bob last night a little more than I had known before. You might want to be, don't break into his house. It's got an AR-15. Only one. But he used to be one of those people. You remember when the movie Red Dawn came out? It was about Russians invading. So during that time, he and some other friends in California created safety places in the hillsides of California and spent all their time creating ammo for AR-15s. And so it's pretty interesting. So don't break into his house. Take a second thought about that. All right, what else? Amen. Amen.
I'm grateful for this one over here. This heart is growing to love and serve God more. And I'm grateful for my son's car that hasn't manifested yet.
Okay. It's coming, huh? Yes. Amen. Yeah. Importance of the body of Christ. Yeah. Amen. Okay. That was a good one. Good.
What are you thankful for, Pastor Rick?
I am thankful that my daughter and son-in-law got to come for Thanksgiving. Even through the difficult times of the cancer that we talked about last week, that she is two plus years cancer free, so that is thankful for that. Okay. Carson is 5 years old today, so if you see Carson, tell him happy birthday. All right, anything else? Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Okay, sorry.
Thank you for our pastor that we prayed for so long.
Thank you. I know. Amen. Yeah, we don't have to have those pauses, so you can just stand right up. Good. Thank you for sharing. I'll give you one more opportunity and then we're going to go to prayer. Anybody else? Amen. Well,
I'm thankful for everybody that's going to see church even if you don't have the strength to.
Yeah. Thanks for the teacher people. Help with our kids.
That's, I'm thankful for those MS love, First Corinthians.
Yeah.
Love never fails, ever.
Amen. Amen. Okie doke. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we give you, you've heard it. We've been giving you thanks this morning. We give you thanks for all these things. We declare among the throngs in the holy place who you are to us and what you have done for us. And we just want to tell you thanks. And that we love you, and that we would not make this a once-a-year type thing, but that on a continuous basis we will take opportunities to give testimony as to who you are and what you have done in our lives and what you are doing in our lives. None of us have arrived. We're all still in that mode where you're working on us. Just pray that you would help us, Father, to grow closer to you, be molded into your image. Thank you for families that we were able to be with over the holidays, and that you'll be with them as they travel to and fro where they're going, and that you would be with us as we go throughout this coming week, that we would look for opportunities to declare and to give thanks to you for something that you've done for us. We love you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, you have a good day.